Hello and welcome to this Canadian Opera Company podcast sponsored by Decca, the opera label. My name is Jana Wichelow, and with me today is John Kreiter. John is a member of the COC's marketing department and also singer. You'll have seen John on stage in many of our productions. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Jana, for asking me.
John Marco Segato is currently on vacation, but I'd like to thank him for prepping this podcast of our production of Aida. That's what we're exploring today, and Aida opens the Canadian Opera Company's 2010-2011 season this fall with 12 performances running from October 2nd to November 5th at the Four Seasons Centre for the Performing Arts in Toronto. For tickets and more information, you can check out our website at coc.ca, and in the last year there's been quite a few enhancements on our website. There are interactive features such as quizzes, and there's a brand new opera blog as well. That's something to check out. People can come on and comment and find out more about what's happening backstage at the COC. There's also an Alexander Neef blog, and this is where our general director tells us more about what's going on, his travels around the world as he forms new collaborations with other companies and auditions singers, and also occasionally gives hints at what might be coming up in the future. It's kind of fun to read his blog. Well, for each opera, you have historical background, listening guides with music excerpts, full cast and creative team information. There's further related reading, including, for example, with Aida, how the opera came to be.
Quite often there's photographs of the production that we're doing.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
For people to get an idea of what a production will look like.
That's right. We're on Twitter and Facebook. There's a bee blog, which covers the life of the honeybees that live on top of the opera house. And this fall as well, we'll have another edition of our COC online book club, and Death in Venice, the other opera we're doing this fall, will be the focus of that. To really keep up to date with things, you can sign up for eOpera. If you go to our homepage and scroll to the end of the banner, there's an eOpera sign-up, and this guarantees that delivered to your inbox in your email, you'll have all the information of stuff that's coming up, new ventures, and also special offers, things like that. However, back to Aida. Our aim today is to explore the story, the opera's background, our production, and, of course, the music. The music you'll be hearing comes from one of the great Aida recordings from the past. This is a classic 1962 Decca recording with Leontine Price as Aida, John Vickers as Radames, Rita Gore as Amneris, Robert Merrill as Amonasro, Giorgio Tozzi as Ramphis, and Plinio Clabassi as the king.
You know, Jana, Rita Gore sang with us in, I think it was 1997. It was in the 96-97 season, and she sang the old prioress in the Dialogue of the Carmelites. She was 70 years old when she did that.
I remember
and
that,
she did
yeah.
an amazing job. And just as for interest, I think it was 1957, she was in the premiere of Dialogue of the Carmelites. The world premiere, and she played Marie.
That's a wonderful connection. Another connection, a little more nebulous maybe, Giorgio Tozzi, who is Ramphis on this recording, he supplied the voice for Rosano Brazzi in the film of South Pacific. South Pacific being the musical that is being performed right now as we do this podcast at the Four Seasons Centre for the Performing Arts. It's a Dan Catt production, not a COC production.
Right. I have one more connection.
Oh!
The very first opera album that I bought was the Highlights album of Aida with Leontine Price. I don't know whether it was this particular recording, but it was a recording of Leontine Price. And Aida was also the very first opera that I performed in. I was doing volunteer chorus work with Opera Hamilton while I was working at the Steel Company in Hamilton, doing volunteer chorus at night. And Aida was the very first opera that I sang chorus in.
That was the first opera I ever saw in Rome.
Oh.
There you go, lots of firsts.
Goodness.
And maybe there'll be some firsts this fall. Some of our audience members might not have seen an opera before. Hopefully they'll come out. And
this will also probably be the first time that a lot of our audience members have seen Aida, because it's been a long time since we've done it.
It's been 25 years or so, that's right. Well, the recording is under the direction of Sir Georg Scholti, who leads the orchestra and chorus of the Rome Opera Theatre. So for a little bit of background now about the opera, Aida was commissioned by the Khedive of Egypt, This is a title used by the Viceroy of Egypt in the time of Turkish rule from 1867 to 1914. And the opera was meant to showcase the European-style Cairo Opera House, which was built in just 6 months by Italian architects. A lot of people have the idea that Aida was composed for the opening of the Suez Canal. That was right. Not the case. The Khedive wanted to have a new Verdi opera for the opening of the new opera house, which came after the Suez Canal, but he wasn't interested or he couldn't do it in time. So it was actually the second season of the new opera house's existence that Aida had its world premiere. Music, the opera house, Aida in particular, were part of the Khedive's political and cultural modernization, or really westernization, of Egypt. And he's quoted as saying, "My country is no longer Africa. I have made it part of Europe." He was a real Europhile. Right. Initially, Verdi did not show much enthusiasm for the Egyptian proposal. At the time, he was in his mid-50s, very successful, living in semi-retirement. And after the 1867 Paris premiere of his previous opera, Don Carlos, he repeatedly turned down ideas for further collaboration from the librettist of Don Carlos, Camille Dulocle. After some persuasion, Verdi eventually wrote Aida, which had its premiere in Cairo on Christmas Eve, 1871. How he came to finally agree to do it? Well, the story goes that Dulocle told Verdi that if he didn't want the job, Richard Wagner might be interested and would probably do a very good job with it.
And wouldn't that have been a different opera?
That would have been very different. The synopsis which is being shown to Verdi in 1870 is credited to Auguste Ferdinand François Mariette. He was one of the most notable Egyptologists of his day, who also had close connections to the Khedive. The story was subsequently recast in Italian by Antonio Ghislanzoni, the official librettist, but on the published score, he and Mariette share equal billing as librettist.
Considering how convoluted some opera plots are, Aida is a fairly simple story. At the heart of the opera is a love triangle between two princesses and a dashing warrior. Aida, an Ethiopian princess, is a captive and slave in the Egyptian court, serving as a handmaiden to Amneris. She's the powerful Egyptian princess. Amneris and the court have no idea of Aida's true identity. Both of these women are in love with the warrior Radames, although he loves only Aida. And of course, therein lies the problem, Jana.
Wonderful love triangle.
Despite some grand public scenes with large choruses, Aida is essentially an intimate opera centered around these three characters and their conflicts. Mm-hmm. Verdi establishes a human scale of Aida from its opening bars, which begin with a short, quiet prelude. We heard a section of that at the beginning of the podcast. This flows into the opening scene for the high priest Ramphis with its spare orchestration and is followed by the famous tenor aria for Radames, Celeste Aida. This is his private hymn of praise to Aida and one of the most celebrated of all tenor arias.
It absolutely is, and it's brutal, I understand, for tenors because you have this very quiet beginning to the opera and then the tenor who's, you know, warmed up in his dressing room, but that's all he's done. He's come out and now he has to sing one of the great tenor arias. Sort of cold.
It's really unheard of to walk out on stage and to sing one of the most difficult arias in the tenor repertoire cold,
yeah.
As you say.
And Plácido Domingo said he never felt more exposed than when he had to sing Celeste Aida. And I mean, there are challenges for all sorts of tenors singing this. There was an infamous situation a couple of years ago at La Scala when Roberto Alagna came out, sang it, from what I can gather, quite well.
Right.
But he was booed roundly, and he just left.
Scala. Yeah.
Yes, he just walked off the stage, and someone else had to come on.
Poor understudy had to come on and finish it in street clothes.
Yes.
There's a story, and I don't know whether it's a true story or not, of Jean Daresc seeing this at the Met around 1900, and refusing to sing the first aria because he said, "I won't sing it cold."
I wonder if he just didn't want to sing it or he just wanted it moved a little bit later in the story.
It could be.
I wouldn't want to give that up as tenor. But anyway, we'll hear the great Canadian tenor John Vickers sing this aria now.
Oh,
The rivalry between Amneris and Aida comes to the forefront in their duet at the beginning of Act II. Radames and the Egyptian forces have triumphed over the Ethiopian forces, and Amneris is being prepared for the celebrations by her slaves. Aida enters, saddened by the defeat of her people. Amneris dismisses her slaves and expresses sympathy very kindly to Aida, but her real motive is to discover Aida's true feelings for Radames. To obtain this information, Amneris lies to her, telling her that Radames has been killed in battle. Aida's reaction to this, and then her relief when Amneris tells her that Radames is in fact still alive, gives Amneris all the proof she needs of Aida's feelings. In an about-face, Amneris coldly informs Aida that they are rivals for Radames's love. So the scene we're going to hear is one of those, it's a bit of a catfight duet, often written for soprano heroine and her mezzo-soprano rival. And it's interesting that this is a real kind of standard format. You have examples of this in La Gioconda, Adriana Lecouvreur, and certainly in Don Carlos.
Yes.
We have the young, innocent soprano, usually at odds with a rival, and it's usually a mezzo-soprano.
Right.
And I'm wondering why.
I don't know. Other than the fact that the two voices go together so beautifully.
I suppose so. And you've also got the idea, again, well, it's the same with the tenors and the baritones. You've got the idea of the young, the higher the voice, the younger the person.
That's absolutely true.
And then the lower the voice, the darker the voice, the older the person.
The higher the voice, the more innocent the person
sometimes.
The more innocent,
the lower the voice, the more experienced worldly. And maybe worldly yeah. and maybe evil.
Right. Oh. Quite often evil.
Well, we're going to hear a wonderful duet now. It's very exciting music, and we'll have Leontine Price as Aida and Rita Gore as Amneris.